Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Tuesday, September 5th, 2023. President Salva Kiir calls on African leaders to take action against climate change.
We in the global south expect developed countries to play their part, first by cutting their emissions by over 45%.
And the U.S. ambassador to South Sudan says the country is not ready for investment.
I regret to say that such an environment does not currently exist. Such an environment will only emerge when the transitional government demonstrates political will to meet peace commitments necessary so that a free, fair, and peaceful election can take place.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir told delegates attending the Africa Climate Summit in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, that his government has put in place some measures for climate adaptation to cushion thousands of South Sudanese affected by severe climatic changes. The summit, which began Monday, has gathered several African heads of states, governments, ministers, United Nations officials, and climate change activists from Africa. For VOA News, Lucy Pony reports from Nairobi.
The week-long summit convened by the Kenyan government and the African Union aims to address Africa's increasing exposure to climate change and its effects. Addressing the summit Tuesday, President Kiir says flooding, drought, and excessive heat waves caused by climate change have displaced more than 2 million people in South Sudan. President Kiir says, although Africa produces less than 5% of all emissions, Africans suffer from the side effects of climate change. He says South Sudan will produce renewable energy to reduce carbon emissions.
South Sudan has developed its second nationally determined contribution with the goal of generating 3,000 megawatts of renewable energy from hydro, solar, wind, and geothermal gas. This to us is the path net zero carbon by 2050. On top of this land path, we aim to embark on climate smart agriculture to meet our food needs.
More than 80% of South Sudan's rural population relies on agriculture and or livestock husbandry for their livelihoods. According to the UN, fossil fuels, that is coal, oil and gas, are the largest contributors to global climate change, accounting for over 75% of global greenhouse gas emissions and 90% of all carbon dioxide emissions. Mr. Kiir says his country plans to generate revenue from carbon trading to mitigate climate change. He says the country's natural resources have the capacity to absorb carbon dioxide.
Our natural forests and the soot wetlands have the largest capacity to absorb carbon in the world. These ecosystems and sequester millions of tons of carbon dioxide annually, and in them lies the potential for carbon trading I just mentioned.
According to UNDP, carbon markets are trading systems in which carbon credits are sold and bought. During the ongoing summit, a coalition of major United Arab Emirates energy and financial companies indicated intentions to buy $450 million of carbon credits generated in Africa by 2030. President Kiir called on his counterparts and heads of government in Africa to reverse the impact of climate change on the continent. Tanzania's President Samia Suluhu, who also addressed delegates at the summit, says Africa experiences unprecedented effects of the climate change, adding that lack of funds for financing climate change mitigation and adaptation has worsened the problem.
As we head towards COP28, we have to raise an African voice on the establishment and capitalization of a special fund for Africa. The contribution which and the pledges which are given by the advanced countries have to say what percentage of those pledges goes to Africa and not just a blanket pledges.
But Mr. Kiir urges the developed nations to finance climate adaptation and reduce their emissions.
We in the global south expect developed countries to play their part first by cutting their emissions by over 45% and second by leaving their commitment that was made in 2009 in Copenhagen, finance climate adaptation in developing countries. We cannot meet the target of maintaining the temperature rise to 1.5 Celsius by 2030. If developed countries fail to meet their commitments, both providing resources to assist with climate adaptation and leading the way in cutting their own emissions.
William Ruto, Kenya's president, who is hosting the Africa Climate Summit, urged African heads of state to show leadership by contributing and placing Africa's strategic goals at the forefront of the climate change discourse.
In this moment of existential urgency of all humanity, I dare say that we have our ancestors' permission to innovate a way not only to go fast, but also go together, provided we consult thoroughly, engage in good faith, collaborate effectively, and proceed inclusively. This is an emergency, and we must undertake climate action and green growth with this understanding.
President Ruto added that the summit will conclude with a declaration outlining the continent's position on climate finance proposals for the establishment of a global carbon tax system. He says leaders believe the tax will increase the availability of climate finance and encourage countries to cut emissions. The theme of the African Climate Summit is Driving Green Growth and Climate Finance Solutions for Africa and the World. The conference, which kicked off in the Kenyan capital Monday, ends on Friday this week. For VOA News, I'm Lucy Pony, reporting from Nairobi.
Still in Nairobi, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres today reiterated that Africa is suffering immensely from the devastating effects of climate change. From the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, Ruben Chama reports for VOA.
Addressing hundreds of delegates at the inaugural Africa Climate Summit in Nairobi, the UN chief urged quick action to ease climate change.
It is still possible to avoid the worst effects of climate change. The people of Africa and people everywhere need action to respond to deadly climate extremes. And the largest emitters must lead the charge in line with my climate solidarity pact and acceleration agenda.
Kenya is co-hosting the summit with the African Union Commission under the theme Driving Green Growth and Climate Finance Solutions for Africa and the World. Officials said they hope to use this week's meeting to discuss how to confront the impact of climate change on the continent. Ursula von der Leyen is the president of the European Commission.
This summit is a crucial step to prepare the upcoming COP28 meeting and to make sure that Africa's voice resonates around the world and that Africa's priorities as a continent that is most affected by climate change are duly taken on board.
The summit focuses on delivering innovative green growth and climate finance solutions for Africa and the world. African Development Bank Group President Akinwumi Adesina said the summit is expected to fill the gaps arising from the Sharm el-Sheikh implementation plan, including building trust within the global community and delivering concrete outcomes.
We cannot power Africa with potential. We must fully unlock Africa's renewable energy potential. That's why the African Development Bank is implementing $20 billion desert to power program to harness the power of solar and deliver electricity for 250 million people.
The conference is taking place in parallel with the 2023 African Climate Week. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
From Nairobi, we move back to Juba, where traders and investors participating in South Sudan's economic conference are urging the transitional government of national unity to build infrastructure across the country and streamline tax policies to improve the country's economy. The conference aims at discussing how to address South Sudan's economic crisis. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Godwill Juma, a sales manager at Hagana, a local company harvesting and exporting honey and peanut butter, says there are several challenges affecting local entrepreneurs in the country.
The poor road network. Sometimes it takes us a number of days, like maybe from Mundri up to Juba. When the road was not maintained, it takes us like nearly maybe 4 to 5 days. So In that context, sometimes it makes us not sustaining our market in terms of like always being like supplying our product into the market.
Juma adds that lack of packaging materials and unstable exchange rates of the U.S. dollar have forced some entrepreneurs in the country to stop importing goods. Florence Ariemo, director of CFMM for Trade and Investment, another local company that manufactures soap and other skin products, says the country lacks materials for supporting local businesses.
We don't have packaging in South Sudan. So most of our packaging, we bring them from outside South Sudan, like Uganda, Kenya. So at times it is difficult. You send for the packaging, like today you can bring the cream color of the container. Next time when you order for the packaging, again you will get when the cream color is not there. As you have seen here, we have two types of the packaging. We have black, we have cream. That is lack of packaging in South Sudan.
Baka Barnaba Chol is South Sudan's Minister of Finance. Chol says participants at the conference are expected to discuss macroeconomic policies and private sector development.
We got our independence back in 2011, but have continued to face social, economic and political unrest that has really affected not only our economic development, but has led to loss of opportunities, both locally and globally.
The four-day conference has attracted both local and regional participants, including World Bank and African Development Bank officials. Addressing participants at the conference in Juba, U.S. Ambassador to South Sudan Michael J. Adler says the government of South Sudan should invest in restoring peace, stability, and good governance to attract investors.
I regret to say that such an environment does not currently exist. Such an environment will only emerge when the transitional government demonstrates political will to meet peace commitments necessary so that a free, fair, and peaceful election can take place. It will only emerge when there is accountability for human rights violations, including gender-based violence, and measures to prevent corruption. It will only come when there is transparency in the use of public revenue.
Adler says the government should be transparent with the country's oil money and pay civil servants in a timely manner. South Sudan's Ministry of Finance and Planning organized the conference under the theme Towards a Diversified Inclusive and a Sustainable Economic Growth. The conference participants are expected to identify priority sectors for investment, policy reforms, and establishment of public-private partnerships. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Udu in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, South Sudan's national basketball team receives a heroic welcome. Find out why after the break. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. South Sudan's national men's basketball team, the Bright Stars, landed in Juba this afternoon to an upbeat welcome on Tuesday, despite its elimination from the first round of the ongoing FIBA Basketball Cup 2023. For VOA News, Manyang David Meyer was at the airport and has this report.
Thousands of joyous fans sang and beat drums at Juba International Airport this afternoon to welcome the South Sudan's men basketball team following their first appearance at the FIBA World Cup in Philippines, Manila. Nyankwir Garang, one of the fans who risked the rain at Juba International Airport, says the men's basketball team has made South Sudanese proud.
This is just an amazing moment for the country. We don't have a lot to celebrate very often, and this is an incredible opportunity for us to come together and celebrate not as individuals, not as politicians, not as businessmen, but as a country. So it brings us together and it unites us all. So it's a very proud moment for all of us.
South Sudan played against Serbia, Puerto Rico and China in Group B. The Bright Stars made history by beating China 89-69 points before suffering defeat in the hands of Serbia, who beat the Bright Stars 115-83 points. Despite their early exit in the group stages, Lual Ding, president of the South Sudan Basketball Federation, says his country's participation at the FIBA World Cup was a great experience.
It was amazing. It's obviously the first World Cup. For us, we are proud as not just South Sudan, but representing Africa to be able to go and win those three games and qualify for the Olympics. I think we want to just, you know, change the narrative, not just for South Sudan, but also for Africa basketball in general. We'll continue to get better, but the main goal is basically to put, you know, Africa on the map, but also to put South Sudan on the map in terms of the talent and everything that we have.
The Bright Stars beat Angola 101-78 points in Manila last week, securing a slot in the Paris Olympics in 2024. Rebecca Nyandeng de Mabior, South Sudan's vice president in charge of women and youth cluster, accompanies the Bright Stars to Manila. She says South Sudan has potentials to produce more world-class athletes who could bring trophies for the country.
This victory cannot be left like that. We have to continue, and we have to continue supporting this group, this team. Lual Ding have tried to bring them from different clubs. He was supporting them from his pocket. But now we, as the government of South Sudan, as the people of South Sudan, we need to support them. They will bring more than this. And every day we will be hearing the victory.
South Sudan was admitted into FIBA in 2013, 2 years after the country declared its independence. The Bright Stars qualified for the FIBA Basketball World Cup in February 2023. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Juba.
From Juba, we move back to Washington, where U.S. lawmakers return to work this month after a five-week summer recess with a lengthy to-do list that includes funding the government and a possible impeachment of U.S. President Joe Biden. We'll bring details on that story as it comes to our newswire. Residents in multiple towns across Amhara region say that activities have come to a standstill with no transportation services and a hike in basic goods. As tension continues between federal troops and Amhara militia. Maya Miskir reports from Addis Ababa.
Towns across the Amhara region have come to a standstill following fighting between the regional Fano militia and federal troops which control major cities. A health worker in Dembeja town in the West Gojem zone says federal troops had initially camped at the town's hospital for days making it difficult for staff to provide health services. She says, they have left the hospital, but they're still in town. It is very difficult. You don't have freedom and can't really move. Whenever someone says they've arrived, they just come and check on us, come inside and leave. They are in the town, but have stopped using the hospital as camp, and we're thanking God for that. The Ethiopian government declared a state of emergency in the Amhara region in early August, restricting movement and transferring the region's administration to a military command post. In Mezezo town, 200 kilometers from Addis Ababa, there has been relative calm, but the insecurity has resulted in price hikes on basic goods. He says, goods are not coming in from Addis Ababa, and other merchandise and edible oil have shot up in price. We are not able to live. This is the worry of the people. Fighting between FANNO forces and federal troops reached its peak in early August after months of skirmishes following government orders to reintegrate the militia into the formal security structure. A recent UN report says that has resulted in the deaths of over 180 people since July. The report adds that over 1,000 people have been arrested across the country since the declaration of a state of emergency. A resident of Debre Tabor in the South Gondar zone says a lot of young people were arrested last week after federal troops took over the town following days of fighting. He says, we are still in danger. There is a police station around an area known as Monday Market. There were young people arrested there, a lot of them. I don't have the data on how many there are, but they were going house to house on Wednesday and Thursday, going around searching for weapons and FANNO. In a briefing given last Friday, Ethiopian Defense Force Field Marshal Barhanu Jula said the situation in the Amhara region is no longer posing a security threat. Maya Misikir, VOA News, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
The Economic Community of Central African States has suspended Gabon's membership in the regional bloc in an extraordinary summit in Equatorial Guinea and condemned the use of force to resolve political conflicts. Muki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé, Cameroon, that 1 week after the coup that ousted President Ali Bongo, nothing much is being said about the former leader, who was last seen in a video pleading for international help by asking people to make some noise.
Heads of states and governments in the Economic Community of Central African States, ECAS, say they condemned the use of force to resolve political conflicts in Gabon. Monday's extraordinary summit in Djibouti, Equatorial Guinea, was held under the presidency of Equatorial Guinea President Teodoro Obiang-Nguema Mbasogo. Obiang said ECAS wants Gabon to return to constitutional order following a coup so that all the institutions in the country can function. ECAS says it expects the international and regional community to help Gabon out of difficult times, but gave no details. ECAS says Gabon was suspended from proceedings because of an unconstitutional power change. Chad's Foreign Affairs Minister Mohamed Saleh Anadzif read the summit's resolutions on Equatorial Guinea's national television.
Ils ont interpellé les militaires pour surtout garantir la sécurité.
He says ECAS leaders are asking the military junta in Gabon to guarantee the physical integrity, safety and security of ousted President Ali Bongo and his family. He says Gabon has an obligation under international law to protect all citizens and ensure a quick return to civilian rule. Anadif said the summit designated Central African Republic President Faustin Archange Touadéra to negotiate with Gabon's military junta to hand over power. Etienne Gola is an international affairs lecturer at the Omar Bongo University in Libreville. Ngola says the coup in Gabon was one of the most peaceful in the world, with no bloodshed. He says ECAS should allow Gabon's military junta, which has much internal support, enough time to bring back order and prepare civilians for democratic rule before handing over power. Ngola spoke via a messaging app. Gabon's ousted president has not been seen in public since August 30, when a group of Gabon military officers appeared on national television and announced that they had seized power and put Bongo under house arrest. But an audio extract from a video of Ali Bongo has gone viral on social media platforms. In the video, Ali Bongo cries for help, asking people he calls his friends to come to his rescue. Shortly after the coup, Ali Bongo's son, 31-year-old Noureddine Bongo Valentin, was also arrested and accused of high treason and corruption. The military junta, led by General Brice Oligui Nguema, a former commander of the Republican Guard, who was sworn in on Monday as Gabon's transitional president, has not commented on his predecessor's family situation. The ECCAS summit did not make any public statement of the arrest of Bongo's son. During the summit, Niger-born Abdou Abari, who is the special representative of United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres for Central Africa and head of the United Nations Regional Office for Central Africa, UNOCA, pleaded for the establishment of rules and strong institutions, he said, will consolidate Gabon's democratic foundations at the end of a transition within a reasonable time. Abari also expressed hope that ECCAS and the Regional Office of Central Africa would equip themselves with what he called adequate instruments to deal with the resurgence of unconstitutional changes. During his swearing-in ceremony on Monday, he would hand over civilian rule, but did not say when. Moki Edwin Kinzuka, VOA News, Yaoundé.
That report by Moki Edwin Kinzuka brings us to the end of this show for this Tuesday, September 5th, 2023. We now leave you with Yvonne Chaka Chaka and the song Umkombochi.
When my zamin, whoop umkombochi.
Been listening to Yvonne Chaka Chaka and the song Umkombochi. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you missed this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Cornelius, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.